Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as you're back here this week, recapping the week so far in WWE, spanning NXT, the final Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, and the season premiere of Monday Night Raw on USA, as we got some big news regarding that show's future on that very network through the end of this year. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on the wrap, as always, the scout himself, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversations we're going to have. And it was a pretty good week.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Monday Night Raw tonight. Thought it was a really hot show from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. But let's talk about the lead story that was just mentioned in passing by our new guy, Joe Tessitore, on commentary, noting that starting in October 7th, to be exact, Monday Night Raw on USA until the finale at the end of the year will run from 8 to 10 o'clock. PM Eastern. It will no longer be a 3-hour show for now. And all I gotta say is, after what, 12 years, now you pick the time to do this. So we all go through withdrawals of actually needing a third hour. Now I have the shakes, Scott. Now I don't know what to do with myself at 10 o'clock for the next 3 months.
I'll be fine. I'm just going to throw in a video game and call it a day. So that works for me. The 8 to 10 is cool. It means it'll be a tighter show. This just means there'll be more people complaining online that so-and-so is not on this week and so-and-so is not on that week. And it will make TV time more valuable. I think one of the things that the 3-hour show has done is almost guarantee that you're going to see everybody every week. I think now that we get back to a 2-hour tighter show, it's going to make people feel special. Like, if a guy's not there for 4 weeks on a 3-hour show, it's like, oh, man, I ain't seen him in 12 hours. God dang, it's been a minute. You know what I'm saying? So there's definitely a difference between the 3 and the 2. And I think the tightness of the show and not seeing everybody every week is going to just make matches, make people, and make just events feel special.
I definitely agree. It's going to be a more compact show, tighter in terms of time. You're not going to see everybody every week. It is going to put some promotional weight on the company to definitely push these go-home shows for their next few PLEs, specifically for Crown Jewel and Survivor Series in November in Vancouver. So I think it is a wise decision to see how you can do this on Monday night, which we have not done in a very long time, because traditionally Monday Night Raw runs from 9 to 11 with an overrun. That would not be the case. 8 to 10, hard out. That would be the way to go through the end of this year. And I presume when they move to Netflix, they're going back to 3 hours, I would guess. But I'm going to be intrigued by how they format the show in October and see who's going to make the cut every week and how they're going to kind of reconfigure things, because everybody will not be able to be on this show as they were before. And that's going to lead to things being a little bit tighter in a good way, I would guess.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, matches are going to mean more when we have a longer match. It's going to feel more impactful. It's going to take up more of the show. I think promo segments are going to be I think it's just everything is going to just feel a little bit better. Either that, or we're just going to be at a breakneck pace. I really don't think they're going to be a middle ground, especially in those first few weeks, because there's going to be a pretty big adjustment period of having all this free time to work with. especially when you throw in commercials on top of that. So there is going to be a bit of an adjustment period, but I am curious, like you said, to see how they format the show. Me personally, I'm more so curious to see how they do a lot of their talking segments, considering those have been the ones that have really been given a lot of grace. You get to really let the crowd and fill out the crowd. How are you going to do that going forward on a 2-hour show where you want to make sure that you're still having a good amount of wrestling on there?
Agreed. Because when you have the 3-hour show, traditionally you have that 2-hour frame in the old school way, but you have that opening segment that can go 20 minutes off top. You probably can't do that now. It has to probably be like 10 minutes for talking, and then you have your match in there as well to get you through the first hour of the show. So pacing and formatting and segments will be key in this new adjustment period for WWE. I was very surprised by that. Like, wow, 2 hours. Haven't heard that in a very long time for Monday Night Raw. But for us, it's a bonus because we get to record earlier and not later, which is a blessing. So we get done earlier with our job, providing feedback on Monday Night Raw for your listening pleasure. But we know it's short-lived because when WWE moves Monday Night Raw to Netflix, it will most likely be back to 3 hours. And I'm guessing this is because USA is not paying full price for Monday Night Raw for this extra time they have on USA. So like, no, you don't get the 3rd hour extra change. We're sorry. The bank is closed. We're only paying for SmackDown.
Yep. But though they're going to get this, they're still going to get their WWE weeks for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, it's a win for them in terms of ratings as well. But let's sidestep this conversation very quickly. We'll talk about 2-hour Raw soon when it happens officially next month. Let's discuss some highlights and lowlights from NXT. A couple of things stood out to me. First off, we had the surprising turn of Lyra Valkyria reappearing on NXT to help Tatum Paxley, who we last saw turn on Lyra Valkyria, had a match for the championship, and that kind of ended with Roxanne standing tall. But I do like this renewed strange partnership that will actually get both ladies over at the same time. As Lyra can moonlight on Monday Night Raw and NXT, Tatum has a friend, she'll get more over, and in a crazy, wacky world, they could get over possibly maybe as women's tag team champions at some point.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but I think this will continue until the CW. This is a good partnership to have, good way to have Lyra on there, a face that's getting gets pretty good reactions and is in a pretty decent spot on Monday Night Raw. So I think this is just going to really kind of build towards a CW match, some type of tag match, and you can either put Paxley over or you can have her turn again and be like, you idiot, you know, one of the two. But yeah, I definitely see this as a way to build towards something with the CW.
Okay, so you don't foresee future tag team champions in their future?
Nah. Honestly, I think Lyra's got big things ahead of her on Monday Night Raw. Like I see her being, she'll never be, at least not right now, the top babyface, but I could definitely see her being in that second, third spot, always in the mix. And if they ever do introduce some type of mid-card women's title, she's going to be right there. So, yeah, I see her being too prominent on Monday Night Raw to be in the NXT mix.
Well, she could do both. Those titles do float around.
Yeah, they do, but I don't know if Pax is ready for that.
I think she is. I think that she is underrated as a worker. Now, in the beginning times of Tatum Pax's run, I thought she was not very much in the ring because she was one-dimensional. The character that she has right now is polarizing, but you know what? It's a character that she developed from the ground up. It has layers to it, has some substance versus the lack of anything with Wendy Chu regarding her turn as to why she woke up on the wrong side of the bed. So I could accept this Tatum Paxley as Wednesday Adams. I can take that. And I think it's a way to elevate her and Lyra, because if Lyra's not doing anything on Monday Night Raw, then you can have them as a tag team, because these titles do float around and it's all about who you can build up next as contenders and champions at the end of the day. We had this discussion last week. We need WWE to try. So if this is their effort to try, then I will give it a golf clap or two.
Nah, I'm good. Lyra got her hands full with the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Gang, so I think instead of her down here playing with the dolls and stuff, she need to be getting ready to, she need to have her bullets ready to shoot her shots. You know what I'm saying?
We're not advocating actual violence on the show.
I'm just telling you what Sonya said.
Yes.
I'm just letting you know what she said. If you want to shoot your shot, take it.
She's very blunt that way, that Sonya Deville. So
she on her Arn Anderson.
She is. She's got the Glock ready to go. So we'll see how Lyra handles it in the weeks to come. But all in all, I enjoyed the return and the TNA relationship is still working well. Rosemary looked a lot better in this match against Tatum than she did against Kalani a couple of weeks ago. So I'll take that as a W as well, even though I still don't care for Wendy Choo whatsoever as a character at this stage in the game. I do also want to speak of something else that happened on NXT this past week. And that was Trick Williams versus Pete Dunne. They had a match that ended via double countout because they kicked too much ass, as we had Pete Dunne deliver a Russian leg sweep to Trick through the announce table. So, Scott, what will be your prediction of how this feud will end between the two, possibly maybe on one of these TV shows before we move to the CW?
Well, I could be wrong, but I think they had an advertisement on Raw for them having a last man standing match on NXT.
Let me.
I might have misheard that, but I something, maybe it was something saying something about being the last man standing. It was kind of hinting towards them announcing it or something. But I thought that they had announced on Raw on a commercial for NXT, Trick versus Pete Dunne, last man standing.
All right, let me check something out.
But you know, they could have announced it and been like, actually, you know what? We're not going to do that. Nobody heard that.
On the other hand.
Yeah, on the other. But if I didn't hear that, I would absolutely. And you know, I think it was the number one contenders match.
Yes.
For Ethan's title. Okay. If right. I didn't hear that, I would say you'd probably get the first week, you're going to get a. You'll get that match for the number one contenders. Then the following week in Chicago. I mean, where are they at the following week? They're in Chicago the first week. Where are they at the following week?
St. Louis.
In St. Louis the following week, you get your title match.
Yes.
If I didn't hear that advertisement.
Yes. Oh, it is a last man standing match tomorrow night. You're correct. Or tonight, as we're recording this episode right now. So they will earn the right to face All Ego Ethan Page for the NXT Championship in Chicago. First NXT on the CW, October 1st. That sounds about right. And as we hopefully are right about the prediction, this should be the big official coronation of Trick Williams in the Shy. If not, I am going to revoke the cooking privileges of Walker HBK.
I will let it slide if it means Josh Alexander is the one who shows up and is like, nah, buddy, the North reigns supreme here in Chi-Town. I will give it a pass if that's who shows up and is like, no. Or, and I know this is completely out of left field, but I'm cool with never ending feuds. Or if Carmelo Hayes is like, bruh, I hate you. I hate you.
You will never prosper.
Boy, I am still in this roster. Yeah. So if one of those two options are it, Josh Alexander, the North reuniting, which would be pretty cool on the debut episode, or Carmelo Hayes putting his name back in the hat for the biggest hater of all time in WWE.
Those are the only two outcomes I will accept, because if I get anything other than that, if it's a clean loss, if it's BS and Ego gets to win somehow, some way, I will be irate. So we need a coronation or a TNA surprise or a player hater of the year contender and Carmelo Hayes saying you will never be prosperous. You will never win the big one in front of the most electric crowds you could possibly perform in front of in Chicago. Not going to happen. So, in the perfect scenario, Trick wins. In the second best case scenario, proper bullshit occurs. Worst case scenario, I'm going to be on here October, whatever it's going to be, and I got things to say.
Oh, I kind of hope he loses and we go live right after. So
I might have to do that. I'm have to say, Gigi, we're going live. We're going to go live. We're going to do it raw. We're going to do it on YouTube because I got things to say. And I will be on my soapbox and I'll say, Scott, give me 30 minutes to go off.
God.
Yes, I need a full 30 if they do stupid stuff.
That's a long rant. All right. That's a serious one right there. You want some Rock promo time.
Yes. You know, when they tell The Rock, you know what, Rock? Listen, we give you social media. You can cut your 30-minute promos on Instagram. We don't have time for that on Fox. Rock says, you know who I am? You know what I do? You're going to give me my 30 and a commercial. What about it?
Yeah, he does demand a commercial too, which is pretty wild.
Just, but, you know, in between, just, you know, a little snack break, come back, more Rock. That is what he does.
Yeah, that is wild.
Mm-hmm. His power is unlimited, I tell ya. But I do want to talk about the main event angle of NXT this past Tuesday, which was Roxanne Perez coming out talking about beating everyone there is to beat on NXT. No one's on her level, not Julia, not anyone else who could be possibly coming in. We get Chelsea Green coming out as a spoof. I love Chelsea. She plays her part perfectly, and she wants to be next in line for the NXT Women's Championship. We saw that match recently and she lost in a good effort. But then we have the prime main attraction and Julia coming out, and she lays out Chelsea Green. There was this big brouhaha on social media about the knee strike. I thought the knee was clean. It was a camera angle that was a choice. Like, first night in, here we go with the engagement farmers trying to find any little thing to discredit Julia. But thankfully, people shot that down. And Julia says, you, me, Roxanne Perez, that championship, the CW, the debut. Will it be in Chicago or St. Louis? I don't know. Because if you're going to do it, you should absolutely have that as your potential main event of one of these debut shows on the CW live in Chicago or St. Louis, two choices there, and have Julia win. Point blank period. Make a star off top and I'm good to go. But the second top story, as we always tend to do on this show, is Judge new theme music. Def Rebel does a couple of things right. Bloodline theme songs and Joshi theme songs. This one is pretty damn good, so I approve.
It's all right. It's fine. I got to hear more. I didn't really pay attention to it. Julia's a baddie. Cheddar biscuits for her.
Yes, off
Tables
top.
Out. Off top.
Face card.
Yeah.
Never declines. Gorgeous. Yes. Fine.
She the type of girl just walk up and be like, yo, I want this. And I'm like, do you want that too? she the type to make you feel like a popsicle on a 100-degree day with the sun out. You just melt.
Yes, instantly.
Don't have to say a word. Like she got a, yeah, it's something about the Joshi, because Io got it too. Io, yes, got that same kind of swag to her too.
Yeah,
Asuka looked like she'll kill you.
Yes.
Kyrie got it a little bit.
Yes.
You know, Kyrie got it, but Io and Julia got it. They got a whole different kind of swag where they just kind of melt you away slowly but surely. You can't even really function properly. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. Sonya Deville better not let them shoot their shot. Okay? They not the ones who shoot because they not going to miss. I'm going to tell you that. Anyway, debut was fine. This was good. Listen, if she would have blown her face off, everybody would have been pissed about that. Okay? So it is what it is. It didn't look great, but it wasn't like it was the worst thing ever. Like we acting like she hit her, like she just completely missed her on the side and just like whiffed. Like she made contact. She did what she was supposed to do. And Chelsea, like the pro she is, sold it. It was fine. And when we get the match, I bet you she lays in that one she does in the match. I guarantee that knee is going to have some impact, whether it's the shoulder, whether it's across her jaw. Y'all going to remember this one. I bet you that.
Oh, yes. And when she lands it, it's going to be beautiful, because if she did hit that knee straight up, oh, she's unsafe. She's a rough worker. Oh, my gosh, she works stiff. Like, she did what she needed to do. And here you go. Day damn one already coming for her. Leave her be. I thought she was great. aura for days. I know that word is thrown around a lot, aura, but she has it. Like when she walks out, boom. Face card, as I said, it will never decline. Like presence, everything is on point. Superstar right there in your face. It's undeniable. And we know that she can go in the ring, which is even better. And I love the Hannah Kimura tribute too, with her entrance in the background. I love all of that. The artwork, all of that was a nice touch with the flowers. So I'm here for Julia's dominant run on NXT incoming. And Roxanne Perez, I think, as I said last week, we had a very healthy debate about that. She's been a strong champion. And I think this will be her finest hour incoming, because this is a huge match for her to really cement her run as champion, to hand that baton off to Julia and then move on to the main roster and kill it, because I think it's time.
I don't think there's any pressure on Roxanne. I think she's established the conversation we had about Mount Rushmore's of NXT women's champions. I think she's established. So I don't think she has any pressure. I do think Julia has some pressure coming in. Can she adapt? Does her style fit? Like, these are the questions that have been asked already. So yeah, she absolutely has pressure. And we've seen Roxanne have great matches with women who are nowhere near the caliber that Julia is, you know. And I'm not somebody who, you know, has seen every match or anything like that, but I've heard the word on the street. I've seen a couple matches, so I know what I'm getting myself into, or at least an idea. And I know that these women, these collegiate athletes that are coming in, are not the wrestlers that Julia is. So I think the pressure is on her to deliver. They need, because you can't just have a good, this has to be a, I would argue this needs to be one of the best NXT women's matches of the last few years. That's what it needs to be.
It's got to be on par with that for sure. It's got to be like, I want to say when Rhea won against Shayna, levels of that was a moment for her.
I don't know about that, because that was more of a, the crowd has been with you during this. We've seen, like, we're on this journey. We've seen Shayna just dominate literally everybody. Rhea was somebody that they had watched kind of grow with them. Julia is this assassin. She needs to be treated like Asuka. Like the way they brought Asuka in, except we're skipping her beating Dana Brooke to a pulp and just going straight to Bayley. You know what I'm saying? Like this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling the Asuka vibe where she just comes in. I mean, off, she's gonna have one match, she's gonna win the title, and she's gonna dominate. I'm with that. I'm rocking with that. And they have an opportunity to keep that going. What they could have done with Asuka as far as her running through NXT, retiring undefeated, going to the main roster and just running through everybody, they can do that now with a few women from NXT that are coming in.
Yeah, and we are avoiding the scenic route. We're going right to it. We have one match, maybe two, and right to a main event situation with Roxanne Perez with a championship. I think I was meaning about that moment of like euphoria in terms of like, we're here to witness something great with Rhea. That was like the last time I felt something in regard to a major title change in the women's division for NXT. But Julia, as you said, she's established, and there is pressure because you have to adapt your in-ring style to WWE's. And that has been a challenge for some people that made that transition from Japan to WWE. We saw that from New Japan. We saw that even in Stardom with Saray, for example. We saw that with someone that I am completely blanking on right now, Kenta. There we are. So we've seen that adjustment period not work out so well for those who've been there, done that. And I hope that Julia can adapt. I think she will. And Roxanne Perez has done it all. And I think that this will be this moment to say, hey, it all led up to this and let's go. And I'm here for it, because now it's equal footing. Two ladies who are very experienced. And it's crazy to say Roxanne is crazy experienced at 22, but she is. And Julia's got that background as well. The resume speaks for itself. So when you got those two together and you have the time to do it, it could be very special whenever they do the match, either for the premiere or in week two in St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right. And one more note from NXT is in regards to what's happening tonight, because we might find out tomorrow what happened. But the Rascals, Zachary Wentz and Trey Miguel, were supposed to face Axiom and Nathan Fraser for the NXT tag team titles. That match has been called off indefinitely, but we do have a replacement, and I think it's going to be outstanding. It will be Nathan Fraser and Axiom versus the Street Profits for the NXT Tag Team Championship.
Yeah, it should be a really good match. I'm looking forward to that as well. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see the Street Profits win. That's that again. Why not build towards some getting some names on your roster for the CW debut, or just give them another notch in the belt for Axiom and Nathan Fraser? But yeah, this will be a really good match.
I expect it to be bonkers. Montez Ford and Nathan Fraser working together. Woo! That's going to be something for sure. I want to see that. And we'll see it tonight on NXT for sure, as well as Javon Evans facing Charlie Dempsey for the Heritage Cup. Outside of Javon's style, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, that should be another good match.
Yeah, so it looks like it's going to be a nice premiere for NXT as we wind down their time on the USA Network. Let's talk about the final Friday Night SmackDown on Fox going down this past Friday night. And we had a run, a 5-year run on Fox. It comes to an end. A very classy exit by WWE to the network that has served them well. Now, let's not romanticize their entire time on Fox, because I ain't gonna lie, the first couple of years sucked. Okay? Sucked. We will never forget how it all started when that person beat Kofi Kingston in like 8 seconds to win the WWE Championship. Let's not forget dog food on Roman Reigns by my new guy, Baron Corbin, who was the king at the time. Let's not forget we had the Thunderdome era, which provided great moments because we got the birth of the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, and that really provided the beginning of a turnaround for SmackDown on Fox. And since that time, it's been anchored by the Bloodline. And for that, all in all, when it comes to ratings going up for Fox in that time slot, this was a success. They didn't get that 1.0 rating in 18 to 49 that Vince promised when they got the deal. But I think Fox benefited greatly from this relationship, as did WWE. And hopefully someday soon it could be re-explored when the rights fees come up once again for SmackDown in the next 5 years or so.
Well, I think, I mean, yeah, like you said, it's had its ups and downs. You mentioned a few of the downs. I think of like Matt Riddle having a great banger of a match with Roman Reigns for the title, him and Randy Orton going after the Usos for the Undisputed Tag Titles on SmackDown. I think of Gunther and just that year he had on SmackDown, just of having really good to great matches on there, really kind of being the anchor on SmackDown. And then you got how Bayley and Damage Control, the women were really, we want to talk about Gunther maybe being the anchor, then you got to talk about Damage Control really being kind of that center of gravity for SmackDown, of keeping everything in balance. They needed a main event, you could always turn to those ladies. You needed to open the show for 15-20 minutes, and this is when Roman and them is not there. You got those ladies who can always do it. You need to put on just a banger match, throw any one of those ladies out there. So SmackDown gave a lot of opportunity to a lot of eyeballs there. But yeah, it's the end of an era. Time for a new era. We're going to see what they do on USA, see if it's any different or if it's just Raw with blue colors.
Oh my gosh. I need more than Raw with blue colors. I need this show to be distinct on USA when we see it on Friday. I need a different set, honestly speaking. I know they're trying to downsize things a little bit, but I need a different feel for SmackDown. Give me something cosmetically appealing to look at. I don't want Raw with blue ropes and blue graphics and whatnot. Just give me a show that looks pleasing to the eye, that feels different from Monday Night Raw. You're on the same network for now. That will be the case for the next few months. So I need these shows to feel a bit different from the other, because I know when they move to Netflix, I think that that Raw set is going to be revamped for sure. So we'll see about that. But some highlights from Friday Night SmackDown involved the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes. And Solo said after Bash in Berlin that he got next for the WWE Championship, the undisputed WWE Championship at that. And Cody agreed. He says, yes, I think that someone from your family should be next in line for that championship. Someone that knocked me on my ass a few weeks ago. And it's not you. It's your enforcer, your right-hand man, Jacob Fatu. Come on down, Jacob. Come on up. I want to talk to you for a minute. I want to give you a shot at my undisputed WWE Championship. And Jacob got up. He climbed the ring apron. He stood there. Solo gave him the side eye in all side eyes to say, this ain't your part. This isn't your role. This isn't your championship shot. Stand down. The fans were with it. They wanted Jacob to get in the ring and face Cody face to face, head to head. But Jacob backed down. He deferred to his tribal chief by saying, I love you. So yes, I would turn down this opportunity. Solo saw through Cody saying, yeah, I see what you're trying to do. Trying to have my guy turn against me. Not gonna happen. So Cody's play did not work, but we do see a tease of what will be down the road, because I think that WWE is wisely realigning what this Bloodline is going to be when it blows up. And it would be Jacob Fatu standing on his own. He's where Jey Uso was a few years ago, deferring to Roman Reigns, saying, yes, this is your moment, not mine, but it will be his soon. And speaking of moments, it will be not on a PLE, but on SmackDown, the premiere this Friday on USA, Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa for the undisputed WWE Championship inside of a steel cage. I love Nick Aldis. But do you really believe a steel cage is going to lock out the Bloodline? You're funny.
I think the match will be all right. Steel cage is a nice stipulation as far as the WWE title goes for your premiere episode on the network. So that's cool. The Fatu stuff is good. It's really just kind of rehashing what they did with Roman and Solo, just on a little bit of a different level. Roman was the champion. Solo, you could tell, obviously, he wanted the spot. Solo's still going for that spot, while Fatu's like, yeah, I probably could have that spot, but I'm going to respect you for right now. So a good little storytelling. And they've, you know, Cody's got to get away from the Bloodline, but this is this would be a good way to get another title match out of this feud without using it for a PLE.
I agree, definitely, because I don't want to see it at a PLE. Let's burn through it right now. I never want to see this matchup again. Let's be done with it. Get Solo out the way. Do you foresee Roman Reigns being in Seattle, Washington on Friday night to call Solo the championship?
No. I don't think we get Roman back until we get Jimmy back. So we might get Jimmy. Maybe we get Jimmy back or something, but nah, I think Cody ends this definitively, whether it's him just looking at Fatu and giving three crossroads and being like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? And giving it kind of like that. Or I think Jimmy Uso comes back and helps even the odds.
Yes, I agree. And someone from the Usos account is tweeting recently. So maybe someone has signs of life of saying, hey, I'm almost ready to come back, and Paul Heyman is making public appearances again. So I presume he's on his way back as well to kind of reconstruct the OG Bloodline, which I'm looking forward to. So all in all, a fine segment let's get this rematch out of the way and then elevate Jacob Fatu along the way, who is going to be a big time star in WWE, as we'll get to when we talk about the main event of the show. But let's also talk about the breakup that is taking forever to happen when it comes to Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. We had a pretty fun triple threat match with Kevin Owens that was supposed to be a 2-on-1 handicap match. But, you know, at some point, you know, those guys are trying to win the match for themselves, a little bit of contention between them. And in a phenomenal finish, Kevin Owens lands a stunner on Austin Theory. That dude goes flying high in the air, takes a fantastic bump. Kevin wins. But despite that, the heels stand tall. But I do still sense tension between Theory and Waller. And for the love of God, someone turn already. This is going on long enough.
Yeah, this is just a good bounce back win for Kevin Owens. A little lower card feud for him to get some wins back. And I don't think it'll happen anytime soon. I think they're just going to kind of, they're just kind of treading water right now until they're ready for one of them to take a big move, but they're not ready for it to happen yet, clearly.
No, we're going to be slow burning this until possibly WrestleMania, because Triple H likes a long story. So
I don't think it'll be to WrestleMania. I think around Survivor Series, Royal Rumble-ish. I think that'll be the time we end this.
Okay, and who do you think will be the babyface when this is all said and done?
Oh, Austin Theory. Austin Theory. I'm gonna tell you right now, Austin Theory will have in the next 2 years will be one of the most over, I think one to be one of the most over people babyface wise they got. He can do everything. He has a great story. And if they genuinely got behind him, he's got everything you need to be a top guy. So I think Austin Theory in the next couple of years could blow up.
You said that. You talked about the story they haven't tapped into on TV yet. I want to see that. And for the first time during that backstage segment on SmackDown this past Friday, I got my dumbass back. I said, there he is. My little dumbass baby face. I love that Theory. Now, I don't want him to be a complete dumbass all the time, but his dumbass humor, that spoke to me because I remember how much I loved it when he was in the way with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae and Andy Hartwell. What? Now 4 years ago. So to get that little nugget of him being a dummy, I missed that. It was a dumbass moment and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I think he'll be the baby face. And I think Grayson Waller on the other side will do just as well as the heel. So I think you got two singles guys ready to go.
I agree. And speaking of possible dissension, we had Tiffany Stratton versus Bayley. I enjoyed their match as well. And Nia Jax was out there looking gorgeous as always, trying to help her friend get the W. But instead, she actually cost Tiffany the match when Bayley landed a better than usual rose plant for the 1-2-3. Now, this dynamic is very interesting because Nia Jax is the WWE Women's Champion. Tiffany Stratton is Miss Money in the Bank. They're supposedly besties, but for the last few weeks, Tiffany has been teasing cash-ins and Nia has been catching her. And you mentioned something interesting about who would be the baby face in this situation. And I'm starting to lean towards Nia. I kind of see what you see now because Tiffany is sneaky that way. And she's got pretty deadly in her court. So I kind of see the vision of Nia being the baby face at the end of the day, months down the road.
Yeah. And Nia's a likable person, like in general, like everything I've seen from Nia, except when she doesn't want to be, but like everything outside the ring, like she seems like a really likable person. And it's just a very easy story to tell of Nia, like, oh, you know, you are my friend. Like, I'm going to stick up for you. You ride or die. And then Tiffany just stabbing her in the back and then just berating her, treating her like, you know, you're beneath her. And because Tiffany thinks she's better than everybody. So in that way, when Nia decides to destroy Tiffany, you have a reason for people to be cheering this monster against the little girl.
Yes. I want to see the monster destroy Barbie. I'm here for that.
The bully gets her comeuppance.
Yes, I'm here for that as well. And more television time for Pretty Deadly. I want to see the musical. sometime soon for sure. Then we have a segment involving our United States champion, LA Knight, Andrade, and Carmelo Hayes. And as we predicted, that this best of seven series possibly maybe is going to lead to one of them vying for the U.S. championship. Good segment, got everybody over in a good way. They spoke their piece, and LA Knight is already a far better champion than Logan Paul. The swag with him as champion is there. He carries himself well. He's not threatened by anybody stepping up to him for that championship shot, which I appreciate. And these stories all link up together because Melo had beef with LA Knight when they first got drafted on SmackDown together a few months ago. Andrade's been with it with Melo for the last month or so, and now he wants a piece of the championship pie too. I love the setup for what will be down the road as we get match 5 in the series this Friday in Seattle, Washington, to kick off SmackDown on USA.
Yeah, this now it's just a basic feud about who's better. They're having a nice little series. I'm hoping match 7 ends up on bad blood. I like the way it's now we're starting to get a title involved. You got guys who are just trading wins back and forth. But I like the, like you said, I like the dynamic. I'm not so convinced that this is going to turn into that tag team like you mentioned. I'm not opposed to it either, but I think this is just going to definitely set them off on some singles paths. One going after the U.S. and I could see the other trying to make a move for Cody's title.
Strong possibility. My tag team hopes and wishes are fading fast, but I have faint hope that Triple H remembers Cesaro and Sheamus, the bar. Remember that template, because I do think you need a good tag team to go up against the Bloodline. And I love the Usos. I don't want them back as champions. I want someone different in that mix. If it's not going to be DIY, if it's not going to be the Street Profits, get a random tag team that happened to go through a best of seven series together, have that mutual respect, and go for the titles. And I think it'll be good. So if they don't go there, I'll be fine. If they do go there, that would be fresh and interesting, because I do think that when you work so much together, there is going to be mutual respect eventually being built up between the two of them, especially for the final match, possibly maybe at Bad Blood in Atlanta in October.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not opposed to the idea of two guys if you don't have anything to do with being in a tag team. So it'll definitely be a boost to the division.
Yes, for sure. And let's talk about the return of Giovanni Vinci, shall we? So he came back, had a few vignettes hyping up his return, looking like a bootleg pit bull. And he comes back to face Apollo Crews. Taking off his gear, taking off his hoodie. Apollo rolls him up and gets the W in seconds. What was this?
Honestly, I think it worked. More people are talking about this debut because of this than they would have been talking about it any other reason. We know he's going to get his win back. He's probably going to come back and dominate Apollo Crews. Took his eye off the ball, watching too many Naito video or Naito matches. And I don't have a problem with this. Yeah, well, it's not like Giovanni was about to come in and set the world on fire anyway. So I have no issue with this. I think now we have talked. More people have talked about a Giovanni match because of this than any other time during his NXT run. And if he would have just ran over Apollo Crews, nobody would have even known it happened. So I don't have a problem with this, because it's not like this is Bron Breakker who just came out and got beat in 3 seconds. We're talking about Giovanni Vinci, okay? Looks like he's a throwaway character on the Mario Brothers movie from 1992, the really bad live action
one.
So you could take it however you want, but I'm cool with this, because I know next week I expect him to destroy Apollo Crews to the point where Baron Corbin will have to come out and make the save.
First of all, do not do Giovanni like that. To put him in the less superior and inferior Super Mario's movie, not the $1 billion movie that made all that money at the box office. How dare you?
Who would he play in that? Who would he play in that? Koopa Troopa?
No, I'm gonna be Toad? Decent. You see, you beat me to it. Toad. See?
Oh, there
you
that's go. Decent. That's decent.
Yes. Toad.
mushrooms. There you go.
That dude looked like a bald Wario. Are you kidding me? You talking about some Toad? Boy, look like a bald Wario.
You said Toad.
He looked like a bald Wario that just picked up the rose and about to start throwing fireballs at people.
Oh my gosh.
What are we talking about? You mentioned
Toad, so he popped in your head for a reason.
Yeah, because I couldn't think of nobody with that skin complexion and bald.
But you see it, don't you?
Nah, he got a nose. Got a nose.
Oh my gosh. So
first of all, we've been doing the show for a while, so I kind of got an idea where you're going with some of this stuff. And I was like, yeah, she definitely think that man looked like Toad for something.
Yes. You like got in my head because I was gonna say Toad. Mushrooms, he's cute. Come on now, he can handle it. Better than bald-headed Wario. That's insulting.
Is it? Well, I think Wario is a beast. He's one of my favorite characters of Mario Kart. Love running people over with him.
He is a menace on the road. Okay. I don't like him at all. Cruel, vicious driver. But I'm going to wait and see how it plays out with Giovanni Vinci. I'm going to be fair. Week 2, 3, and 4 is going to be key because as we have both seen, I think one of our first shows we ever did together was like a NXT PLE, and Giovanni was wrestling out of his mind. So when we see this guy can go. And hopefully this is like a bridge to get him over as a character, whether it's going to be a babyface or a heel, but showcase how great he is. And yes, he can do the fluke for 1 week. It cannot become a trend to get him joked out of WWE, but he's so great that I hope they harness that, because if you let that guy loose, dude, automatic bangers.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like nobody cares. We probably can't name one. Let me not put that on you. I can't name one of his singles matches from his singles run when he was just taking pictures in the ring and smiling.
Well, that didn't last long, Scott. I mean, the catalog was.
He had a couple PLEs. He had a couple special matches.
Even I cannot say like those banged. They didn't.
But who did he face, though?
I don't even remember.
Exactly.
But here's the opportunity now to reset the table. Because if you do this the way that you did it, you got to have him bounce back. And it's the way you do it, because you don't want to joke him out. Mm-hmm. So if you can establish him, then let's build up the in-ring repertoire. Then we can have something going on. But if you just have him as a joke, then just better off let him go. Honestly, because if it ain't Imperium, if he can't do it as a single star and he's not an Imperium, then let him fly somewhere else.
Nah, you need underneath guys who can just get beat real quick. You need guys like that. And it sucks it has to be him, but you need a guy that can take bumps, can make a quick couple moves to get the crowd like, oh my God, he might win, and then can just take a finish, anybody's finish. I'm cool. You need guys like that. So I'm cool with him being just like that if that's what it ends up being, though.
Yes, and he'll also be on WWE Speed, if I can predict, and he'll be vying for that championship as well. And that's a good gig if you can.
2 million people will be watching him every day he's on it, and that's more than any other wrestling show is going to get going forward.
Yes, that view is going to be a view regardless. That is a fact. As we get to the main event of SmackDown, the final main event that will ever be on Fox for now for WWE, it was an 8-man tag team match involving the Bloodlines, Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and the WWE Tag Team Champions, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, versus Street Profits and DIY. I thought this was a frenetic, fun 8-man tag team match. Action throughout, flip dives and bumps galore until Jacob Fatu got that hot tag. And my God, this man was on fire. Like, his hot tag and what he does in the closing stretch is everything. He is truly the meat and the muscle of the new Bloodline. Solo knows that, and that's why he says, defer to me. Thank you for your service. Let me get the pin, as he did on Montez Ford for the 1-2-3 with two Samoan spikes. All in all, a fun match to get Solo ready for Cody next Friday on Fox. Or not now, as I should say, USA, got to get used to that. USA, 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 not Fox. And it does set the table for Jacob Fatu. One day very soon, flipping on his tribal chief, as they all do when they get too greedy with power by wearing the Ulafala.
Yeah, the 8-man tag was good just for Solo to get a win. I think it's his second win since he gave John Cena the 30 dumb folks of death. But it's cool, you know, at least he got another win. And I think Fatu is going to turn on Solo when Solo acknowledges Roman after Roman beats Solo. Solo's already said he would acknowledge Roman if he beats him. Mm-hmm. Roman will beat Solo. Solo will acknowledge Roman. Fatu and the crew will take out Solo because of that. That's how we get back to the OG bloodline of Solo, the Usos, and Roman taking on Fatu, G.O.D., and whoever else they decide to bring on, whether it's the too tall of Fatu or if it's, Zilla. Whoever, they got a whole bunch of Fatus in the blood in the trenches. So, whichever one they decide to call up, that will be facing the OG bloodline, and I think that's how that gets established.
All I know is that when I was growing up, I did not realize how busy Rikishi was. I did not know he was that busy, just procreating and building bloodlines for generations to come. I had no idea. I said, "There's another one? Oh my God." Got a factory of Fatus.
A factory of Fatus. Yeah, that's yeah. My boy was definitely on the groove. Him and Scotty Too Hottie. it was definitely out there getting it done.
They was on the worm in more ways than one. I'm gonna leave that at that. Awesome. I mean, you gave me the opening. We said Scotty Too Hottie. Yeah, sure. I just had to walk through the door. Sure. You let me there.
A lot of worms going on.
A lot of worms going on. Let's not dive into that discussion because all I saw was like
a lot of bonsai drops from from Rikishi.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, I like the idea of OG bloodline versus the Wolfpack bloodline. Let's do that in 2025.
I like that. Wolfpack bloodline's cool. The Wolfpack bloodline. I like that. WB.
Yes. Can we clear the music too? Because that music is awesome.
It would fit with, because isn't Fatu the werewolf anyway?
Yes, let's throw that on there. Come on.
That ain't bad. The Wolfpack bloodline, or the bloodline Wolfpack, whatever. But I like the wolf aspect to it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so hopefully it happens one day soon. And as Solo bends the knee, which he will, and he did say on television when that day comes.
He's bending the knee. He ain't going to bend the knee. Hey, listen. You can ask me to acknowledge. I'll acknowledge you, but what I'm not gonna do is bend the knee.
Okay.
You're not gonna knight me. What are you gonna do? Knight me? You gonna give me a sword?
Well, you gotta humble him somehow because he thought he was the tribal chief.
True that. I'm not taking the knee. I'll acknowledge you. I'll throw my finger up for you, and I won't be my middle one. But I'm not taking the knee, and I'm not kissing your hand.
A bridge too far. Kiss his feet. Yeah. Kiss his feet.
No, because then I got to take I might as well just take the knee.
That's what I said. Like, what's easier? Take the knee, kiss his foot, or kiss the ring?
I'd rather kiss you on the cheek.
Okay, Godfather.
Yeah, I'd rather Godfather it for sure.
That's very Corleone of you.
Yeah, I'm cool with the kiss on the cheek. Like, my bad, bro. Mwah, mwah.
There you go. Yeah. All right. I like that. All right. So let's get to Monday Night Raw, our season premiere going down live on USA from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And we kick things off with, I do believe, a segment that definitely grabbed my attention, that set the tone for the evening, which was a street fight involving the Wyatt Six and Scott's favorite faction, American Made.
MAGA made. I mean, American made. American made great again.
The super pack no one wants, but here we are. Oh,
American gosh. Made great again. The AMGA. The AMGA.
So we had this match open the show commercial free for the first hour. I thought it was really good. I think that people had some concern about how would the Wyatt Six get over in the ring. And people forgot, like, these guys could actually work. They can wrestle. I never had to worry about that. I think the worry was where we go to supernatural with it. And so far they have not leaned into the spooky in their matches. Joe Gacy, praise Jesus, has found a role for him to ball out. Nikki Cross has been revitalized. Sister Abigail loved her spots in this match with Ivy Nile and suplexing Chad Gable. That was crazy. Eric Rowan's a great big guy. Creed Brothers always go out there and ball out. And it came down to a crazy spot of Chad Gable delivering an Olympic slam to Gacy through a tape before a no fall. That was insane. Loved it. Ankle lock. That did not work. Uncle Howdy spooked Chad Gable. And Chad Gable was laid out for the 1, 2, 3. But I do want to shout out my guy who has gotten cheddar biscuits for a very long time now. My boy, Julius Creed. He has graduated from the Chad Gable School of Selling, because when Uncle Howdy hit that Sister Abigail, the torque and the twist that Julius did was incredible. Shout out to Uncle Howdy, because, honey, you almost lost your wig, but you kept it. You kept it tight. You saved it. Blessings. Find a better wig and mask for future reference. But otherwise, I really enjoyed this match. It was plunder. It was everything I needed to see. Everybody showed out. And the Wyatt Six, in terms of presentation in the ring, they're very good. And Dexter Lumis, hey, this guy's unlocked the code too recently. He's really good out there working. And I think this concept and this crew just works in settings like this, as it did last night.
Yeah, this match was good. The crowd was with it. And I thought the Wyatt Six, they got a nice win. I think it's time to kind of separate the two. I think American Made could definitely be something. And, you know, where you go with the Wyatt Six, I don't know. Me personally, I'd probably send them after Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good way to kind of transition that. Finn Balor having to go after his demons, becoming the demon to go after Uncle Howdy. That would be a lot of fun. So I'm hoping this kind of is the end of this feud, and they can both kind of go their separate ways and start flourishing. They've established themselves as in-ring threats as far as psychological threats. They, you know, there's always the chance that they could just go crazy and you could have a massacre like they did the first week. So they've established themselves as, you don't know what you're going to get week to week, and that's a good thing. And you kind of have a wild card on the show. But I hope going forward we see them link up with the Judgment Day.
I agree. And once again, we've been working together for long enough, almost 3 years, for you to be in my head again, because I thought, why not have the Wyatt Six go after Finn and the Floating Head for the tag titles at some point? I'm here for that as well. So let's transition them away from this feud. They've won it outright. There's nothing else you can do at this point. Exclamation point on this feud being over. Let's move on. But I do want to see what's next for American Made. I do want them to be established too. The Creed brothers are too special to be losing. So hopefully they get back on track soon. And Chad Gable, I've seen the body lately. I've been putting in that gym work. He's getting swole. So I like that too. And hopefully someday soon, as you suggested, he will be over as a babyface going after Gunther for that World Heavyweight Championship. That is still a big pie in the sky idea that I think has legs whenever WWE wants to go there.
Yeah. And it's too easy not to do at some point to go back to, Chad down on his luck and be like, you know what? I'm going back to my roots. I'm going back to being that guy and just going after. So hopefully that happens, because it's just too easy not to go back to.
Absolutely agree. Then let's get to our next match, which was for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. It was the champions Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill versus the challengers, the Witches, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. This match is fine for what it was. You know, the baby faces were over, got the win, thankfully. This needs to be over and done with now. We've seen it enough. They won twice. Let's move forward. And we saw the tease backstage of Damage Control's Io Sky and Kairi Sane confronting the champs backstage, letting them know, you like what you did out there, good work, but don't get too comfy with those titles, because we're coming for them. And I did like how Bianca used her ponytail to polish up those titles after Damage Control touched them. But as I said before, damage control is the Achilles heel to Bianca Belair. They've caused so much torment to her in the last couple of years. It's going to lead to that fracture between her and Jade when the time comes. Not now, but down the road.
We got Black Magic back dominating the tag division. And I'm with that. The queens are where they belong. So you're not going to... Listen, if they're not going to be in the singles division, then this is where they should be. Bianca Belair still has one of the best hot tags in all of women's wrestling for WWE. She just goes ham. The kip-ups, the run-throughs, just beautiful. And the suplex with the high knees, mm-hmm. Love that spot. Real nice spot. So yeah, I'm with this. This is cool. We know Chitty Chitty Bang Bang isn't too far off. They're going to shoot their shot. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, these two are not the two to be messed with. They about to be on They Set It Off stuff real quick.
First of all, why are you going all the way in with Set It Off again? You love you some Set It Off.
I'm just saying, man, that's what they about to be. When it comes to, they said shoot their shot. You about to get a whole bunch of shots.
Barrels ablazing. I'm here for that as well. Saying.
I couldn't think of another woman where you had two black women just letting it go like that.
Are we going? Okay. So I need like the comparison from which two from Set It Off would you like roll with? Would it be like Queen Latifah and Vivica A. Fox? Would it be like Kimberly Elise or like, you know, Jada Pinkett? Who you rolling with? Well, as a combo?
Definitely don't feel right calling either one of them Queen Latifah. So,
No, the queen is the queen now. Come on.
The queen is the queen. The queen is the equalizer, okay? But I don't know.
That is true. That is true.
So I'm definitely saying Jade is definitely Jada.
Yes.
Jade is definitely Jada. Bianca's probably Queen Latifah.
I told you.
But I just not
the miserable end that we got when she got like shot up in the car. Like, I don't want that fate, obviously.
That's
but
what
she
I'm
was
saying.
A baddie.
Like, she was, but it's still Queen Latifah. And I don't feel right calling Bianca Belair Queen Latifah. But those are the two I would put them as.
Okay. All right. We'll roll with it. People have no idea what we just talked about. I encourage you guys to Google Set It Off, watch it.
I don't know if it holds up that well, but it does hold up.
Listen, that's gonna be like a nice popcorn flick for a couple of hours, and you're gonna have grown men cry because those ladies were wronged. They did nothing wrong, and they took matters into their own hands because the police and law enforcement sucks, and they jumped to the wrong conclusion about what happened with that original bank robbery.
They still did something wrong.
Like, but they're not in effect. No, because she was accused of, like, you let them rob the bank, which she didn't.
Yeah, but they're not. Okay, you're right. Everything, they were wronged, but they're not innocent.
They are innocent to me because they, it led them down a path because of mistrust by people that should know better.
I mean, that's true, but they're not. Listen. Okay.
Stop spoiling the movie. You said
Yeah. Let me leave. I'm just gonna leave it at that. They're not innocent to me.
They're
not
innocent to me. They're justified in their actions.
Oh my God.
They are.
Okay. All right. Y'all, hey, listen, y'all in the Discord, go. If you've seen the movie, I don't know if who has. If you've seen the movie though, let us know if you think it was justified or not. I think they were definitely guilty. And they had the end coming that they had coming.
Except Jada, who made it, thank God. Because she got on that bus and got her money and handled her business, thankfully. Less Blair let her go on that bus. And I thank him from that. But yes, Discord people, I encourage you, if you have watched Set It Off, I need you to end the debate. Were they justified in what they did? I say yes. Scott says no. Were they innocent? I will say... not exactly, but they were justified in everything they did. Their one flaw was that they did too much in the end. They got greedy.
They did a lot.
They did a lot. Justifiably so, but they did a lot.
A lot. All right.
All right. That was quite the review of a classic 1996 flick. All right. So let's get to our second hour of Monday Night Raw. this show took quite the turn, as we have Brett the Hitman Hart back in his home country. Heroes welcome. Brett was given, I am here to get paid so I can go back to Hawaii energy. I love that. Like, I'm here, pay me at the window so I can go. Came out there, talked about being a great Canadian champion, talked about being a great Canadian wrestler, did his catchphrase. Then Gunther comes out, talks that talk, as he always does, says, you're second best. I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. I got that mantle now, but you're second best. And Gunther says, I respect you, dude. I respect everything you've done. I have grown up watching you work. I admire what you've done. I respect you greatly, but you're not my favorite wrestler. I mean, you're right behind my favorite wrestler who I idolized. And you know, if you're in Canada, the go-to would be to say Shawn Michaels to get heel heat. When Gunther fixed his lips to say that his favorite wrestler was Bill Goldberg, in my house, I laughed my ass off because that was a troll job and Gunther knew it. And when he laughed after the fact, he knew he was full of shit, but I loved it. I loved it, Scott. I laughed. Gunther is an outstanding troll.
Yeah. Goldberg was my favorite wrestler until he got tased by Kevin Nash. So, and then I stopped watching wrestling until Shelton Benjamin beat Triple H on his first night on Raw. So there's that. So I get the Goldberg thing, and then I, you know, I get the hate for it too. It's a love hate thing. But the segment was great. Gunther has silenced all of the "he is not good on the microphone" critics. Gunther is, I mean, he's everything is advertised. He's a great champion. He's just excellent. I don't think we've had a bad thing to say about Gunther in years. Like, I don't think he's had a bad segment. I can't recall a bad match. So I've enjoyed what they've done with Gunther. They've done a good job with them. I'm just glad Sami Zayn didn't hurt his shoulder today, because that's what happened last time he was with Bret Hart.
Oh my gosh, how can we forget Flashback? And then he was out for months. He fought through that injury to face John Cena in the U.S. Open Challenge for the title. Oh, the memories of that. But he made it through, and he came out there to defend Bret Hart and say, hey, Gunther, stop running scared. I want you and me for that championship. Pick a day, pick a time. And Gunther's still running like a coward, as Bret Hart said. And this was a fun segment. Everybody walked away unscathed. But as you said, Gunther is great in every way. This guy is not missed. The main roster has been very kind to him, and he's had prolific runs as champion. Wherever he's been, he's held that title for years. And we're not exaggerating when we say that. He's been amazing in every area. He's got swag for days, great mic skills, fantastic wrestler, and as I've said a long time ago, unlimited cheddar biscuits as well. When he was thick Walter to fit Gunther, it still fits for him. He's great, regardless of his size, because he's Gunther. He's the best.
Well, whatever was said about Gunther, I don't think it's poor Gunther anymore.
Mm-mm. It's like, this dude has had an amazing run in WWE. And as I said just a moment ago, this guy has had championship runs for years. If you add them all up, it's over 1,000 plus days as champion, with very few breaks in between.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get to our next segment, which was Dragon Lee versus Dirty Dominic Mysterio. These guys always work great together, had interference from the LWO and Judgment Day, and Liv Morgan would come out there at one point as well to cause a distraction. She's a great heel. Just chop block Dragon Lee out of nowhere. We have Dirty Dominic, the 619 Frog Splash for the W. But before this match happened, we had Finn Balor come out, talk some trash about Damian Priest, and their match will be a go imminently, which I'm looking forward to as well, which led to Lee versus Dirty Dom. Very fun match. Interference, of course. And it ends with the heels standing tall for now.
Yeah, this was all about just getting heat, establishing Dom has his secret weapons on his side, and he got a nice win.
Yes, he did, which I appreciate.
Yeah, he needs more of those, but this is good for him.
Yes. As we get to our next match on the show for this evening, as I go through my notes,
as we're back in our commercial bag, which was basically picture in picture for the rest of the show. Let's get to our next matchup, which was a six-woman tag team match involving Natalya coming back in her home country alongside Lara Valkyria and Zelina Vega versus the Pure Fusion Collective. I hate that name. Of Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark. Great showcase match for everyone, which ended with a triple sharpshooter spot and Zoe Stark being the one tapping on behalf of her team.
Yeah, the Powerpuff Girls got beat, but that's okay.
What? And this because is what you said that, you know what I'm going to do, but continue.
Go ahead.
No. I'm going to let you finish your review. And we're going to circle back because we're going to do multiple pop culture references on the show. We covered Mario Brothers, set it off, and now Powerpuff Girls. Go on.
Yeah, for sure. They got beat tonight, but that's okay. shout out to Natalya. She decided to get off Instagram for a minute and she's back in the ring. I guess she's getting ready to go show up in TNA because Lord knows WWE is not a full-time job anymore. So we're just her warm-up to get ready to go to TNA and try to wrestle for that TNA Women's Knockout Championship. She might show up tomorrow. She might show up tonight on NXT for that open championship.
Against Jordan Grace. Very possible.
She might show up there. This was just her warm-up because Lord knows she doesn't wrestle anymore full-time. No, this is cool. And like I mentioned about Lyra, she's going to be one of the top baby faces on the Raw brand. This was just a nice win for Natalya. And you know what? Shout out to Zelina Vega for getting a win as well. She's been on the losing end a lot. And this is a nice win for her too.
Yes. Nice bounce back victory after last week for sure. Now, see, you have opened a door again that I have to explore with you. And first off, congrats to Natalya, got the WWE bag. And as Scott said, she doesn't have to work full time anymore. She'll be a lifer, being a trainer, training the next generation. Because let me tell you something, I've grown to respect and appreciate Natalya because when she goes out there, she's going to put in that work to make you look good. She's going to make you look experienced. So you need a ring general like that that's going to get these ladies ready for the next step in their WWE careers. But let's get to the main topic that you brought up, the Powerpuff Girls, a Cartoon Network staple for decades. Now, a long time ago on SmackDown, when it was SmackDown Live on USA, we did have a Powerpuff Girl collective of Charlotte, Becky, and Naomi. And I knew exactly who everyone was in the crew. It was cute. Saw little cartoon graphics. Adorable. Okay. So it's quiz time for Scott.
Mm-hmm.
We have our new Powerpuff Girls. I think I know who you're going to assign who to. Who is your Blossom, your Buttercup, and your Bubbles?
Bubbles is Zoe Stark.
Agreed.
Bubbles is Zoe Stark. Blossom. And I want to make sure Blossom's the red one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Blossom is definitely Sonya Deville, and Buttercup is Shayna Baszler.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure I got her name. Buttercup was undeniable.
Yes.
There was never a question about who the green one was. I just wanted to make sure I got her name right. But yeah, Buttercup was undeniable. Bubbles, I can see Zoe's probably a pretty happy-go-lucky person, but she's like, I got to go hard when I'm with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang over here. And Sonya Deville is the leader of the group, so Blossom, naturally. But yeah, Buttercup, spot on.
Listen, Buttercup is a gunner. You understand me?
Yeah, like, Buttercup's a beast.
Yes, like she is my favorite Powerpuff Girl. Like I relate. I mean, who's your favorite? Bubbles?
Oh yeah, Bubbles. Bubbles, okay, for sure.
I got Buttercup. Blossom, she's all right. But Buttercup is like my spirit animal. She is a badass. She always wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, a little grumpy, a little pissed off, and she fights angry. And I love that. She's a scrapper. Go, Buttercup, go.
That's Shayna.
Yes, absolutely.
Shayna looked like she wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yes. Angry every day. Like, I'm just mad at the world and I just want to just smash somebody in right now. I like
She looks like the type of person that need a cup of coffee but don't buy a coffee maker.
No, at all. She says, like, I don't want to.
I don't want to put in the effort to buy a coffee maker and put Folgers in it and grind the coffee. No.
She looks like the type of person that goes home from work knowing she needs gas in the morning and doesn't get gas until the morning.
And then gets mad, like, fuck.
And then gets mad because she's late to work.
Yes. God forbid if she needs a hybrid. Like, she has a hybrid and she needs gas. She's got to plug it in.
Sonya Deville's like the type of person who would ask for no pickles on her chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A and get pickles and take it back and keep that chicken sandwich and ask for another chicken sandwich.
Oh my God. I agree with you as well. This has turned into so many tangents. Got a Chick-fil-A shout out too. I know where your head is at.
What's that?
Chicken nugs. Chicken
tenders. I've been on a chicken sandwich kick here lately. I do get the chicken nuggets. You know, usually I do, but I've been on a chicken sandwich here kick lately. Deluxe with the cheese too. No pickles though. I don't do that. But the cheese and the chicken, that's been on point.
Okay, I love chicken time with Scott Young. We need like a
I do love me some fried chicken though.
Let's say something.
As stereotypical as it may be. Well, maybe not to most people when they look at me, but I do love me some fried chicken.
Tell you something. I had Popeyes twice last week. I had a great time eating Popeyes chicken. It is a joy. When you need a fix, a hot meal, you go to Popeyes chicken, get you some tenders. Yes, Dom, I like my tendies too. You do some tendies, 5-piece of them things with a combo with a drink. Heaven.
Yeah, that's Popeyes is good. KFC is good. Bojangles. All good chick Publix.
Yes, all. Publix wings.
Love me some Publix chicken.
Yes.
Big chicken guy.
Me too. Gotta be
real
the
stereotypical. Chicken. I might even have some watermelon and some grape soda.
Okay, let's stop now. Let's put a cap in that before we go too far.
I'm keeping it a buck though. As stereotypical as it may be, I'm keeping it a buck. I'm having all that.
Kool-Aid.
Don't make me get into my Kale Mitchell self.
Oh my gosh. You love right. orange soda?
It is true.
Yeah. I do. Okay. Oh my gosh. We have thrown in 30 references in like 5 minutes, which I love. So now we're going to get to Drew McIntyre. And, you know, his favorite topic is CM Punk saying you thought it was over. It wasn't over. You know, you thought you were done when you hit your four corners on me in our strap match at Bash in Berlin. No, it wasn't over. It will never be over. And then McIntyre got in Wade Barrett's face and say, hey, get out of my business. Stay out of my business. And they had to be separated due to Adam Pearce coming out there and letting him know we need to end this between you two. It's gone on long enough. So what we're going to do is handle business at Bad Blood in Atlanta, October 5th, inside Hell in a Cell. And we always knew this is how this feud would end. And I'm glad it's finally culminating and climaxing at Bad Blood inside Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I'm glad all this strap is getting climaxed too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this match is going to be hopefully... Every match has gotten better, so hopefully this will be the best match of the three. You know the meme of the horse or the dragon, and it's got the three things. Well, the funky looking dragon. Well, that's the first match. Then you got the kind of serious looking dragon. That's the strap match, and hopefully this is going to be that real serious looking dragon with the Hell in a Cell. You know, I hope that you. I predict there won't be any cinder blocks used, but I think we'll definitely get some carnage here. From WWE, I expect some blood. How much? Might get a cut here or there. Yeah, this was fine segment. Adam Pearce sucks, but the segment was fine.
You leave Scrap Daddy alone, even though he is one of the worst general managers in WWE. I have conceded to that notion now. Like, Nick Aldis is efficient. Adam Pearce has conniptions every week when it's just very easy to solve these problems, but he makes it oh so hard. But I love my Scrap Daddy, but he is dumb. I can admit that. I'm flexible and honest that way. I'm sure I am. All right. As we get to now, our next matchup, which was Finn Balor versus Rey Mysterio. I read the treatment that Rey received on his knees via stem cell therapy. And I've made the joke about John Cena in the past about those magic stem cells that led to magical healing powers. Ray has de-aged 20 years. Those knees were great. Fun match while it lasted. Like, when you need a boost, you go to Rey Mysterio. And Finn Balor got that, got some heat on him. He got DQ'd to get some heat on him, obviously, to build up to him and Damian Priest. And as I predict, one day soon, Damian Priest will knock on Rey's door to offer his apologies and olive branch about all things that have gone down. Because at some point, you will need help.
Did he get DQ'd or did Rey tap?
It was DQ.
Oh, okay. I thought he tapped him out. So I get for playing my game, watching the match. I actually really like the finisher though. The half crab in between the ropes like that. I think that's a pretty dope move. And I wouldn't be opposed to Finn, first of all, adopting the half crab as a submission finisher. I like it when heels have a nice submission they can go to, especially when they start cheating, doing underhanded stuff, and you can start targeting limbs like that. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come for him. And I'd like for, if we're going to do like street fights and stuff like that, I'd like for him to start utilizing that half crab in the ropes. Like, I thought that was a really cool submission he had on at the end. This is a good win for Finn. They needed that, needed to establish him more as a singles guy. And then I also love the promo that was cut backstage by him and Liv. I thought they did a good job kind of establishing the roles. All the hierarchy is established in that group now. There's no multiple heads. Finn is the head of that group, followed by Liv and then everybody else.
Yes, even though Finn is a liar, talking about there is no leaders. You are a liar, sir. There are leaders.
Yeah, you're the leader. He's the leader. For sure of that group.
Yes, and Liv is second in command. Like, stop playing. Stop, Finn. We're all equals here. Lies. You was mad because Damien had a belt to justify him being the leader, and you were not. So I love the hypocrisy coming out of Finn's mouth. But you know what? What I love about Finn is that even though he did not get what he want via the street trash name, he said, I'm leaving here with something, to quote Denzel. We got street trash shirts, okay? I got something out of it. We are the new Judgment Day, also known as street trash. I'm leaving here with something. I'm leaving here with some revenue in my pocket. Please buy the shirt. They won't, but good for you, Finn. Love you, but don't ever cook a name that's never going to cook again, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, you got a shirt.
Mm-hmm. He did. Got the t-shirt. And now it is time for our main event of Monday Night Raw. It was our fatal four-way match involving Jey Uso versus Pete Dunne versus Ilya Dragunov versus Braun Strowman to become the number one contender for Braun Strowman's Intercontinental Championship. This was a really fun main event. All four guys looked great. Love the near falls. Love the action. Everybody shined. We had great spots throughout. But the spot for me that took me out was last week. Bronson Reed was not on the show due to COVID, and we hoped he healed up very nicely from that illness. And Braun Strowman was on a run. He barely hit Jay on that tackle. Not gonna lie, that was a little Hit the other two just fine. But when he was making his way to the announce table to do some damage, big Bronson Reed flew out of nowhere and tsunami dude through the announce table. That was spectacular. And I love that spot. It opened the door for Pete and Ilya and Jay to, you know, have a chance to win this match outright. Love the finishing sequence of super kicks. And we had them going for near falls and counters, which I dug. And ultimately, Jay won the match by landing a frog splash on Pete Dunne. 1, 2, 3, to now earn the right to face Bron Breakker for the IC title. Should be a very good match, possibly, maybe, at Bad Blood in Atlanta on October 5th. But Bronson Reed coming back and hitting that tsunami on Braun Strowman was pretty sick and cool. It was quick, too. Like, the dude just flew out of nowhere in the frame, hit it, and popped the crowd. Great spot to end a very strong match to close out Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, really good match. I think they just flipped spots because Bronson Reed was supposed to be in this. I think Braun would have came out, probably put him through a table. So since Bronson couldn't be here, they just flipped it, and I think it worked out for the better. Anyway, we got a huge moment. That tsunami was a great spot. I like the interviews that we got that kind of gave each person their reason. Braun Breakker kind of, you know, letting them each know, hey, it doesn't matter what you do or what you say. I like the Jay and Ilya. They have a little bit of history. Let's not forget Jay beat Ilya in the tournament. That's a couple months ago. So there's a lot of history there. Jey Uso gets another big win. The crowd is fully behind him. I fully believe he's the number one babyface on Raw. And he's not going to be Braun, but this will be another good match for him, and it'll be another match for Braun to get another name under his notch.
Absolutely. And I like the fact that Braun was, you know, walking around backstage, checking out the competition, seeing who would be the one to face me for this title, because Braun ain't scared of nothing. And I love that about him. Love that tease throughout the night to build up anticipation for the main event. Thought it was a really strong matchup. Everybody looked good, obviously. And you still got contenders in Braun and Ilya one day to go at it. When that time comes, it will be great. And I think they're saving Ilya for that match, and ultimately Gunther, because that is something you don't just blow through. You build up for it down the road, but just get him over continuously with wins is important for future reference. Surprised we didn't see Sheamus, because I thought he was going to go out there and get Pete Dunne. That did not happen. Very possible it happens on NXT when he faces Trick Williams. We'll see about that on Tuesday's NXT tonight, because that is the premiere for that show for the last few weeks on USA before the move to the CW. And they need something to get some juice on that show before the move.
Yeah, that's a very good possibility. And tonight we'll get a good last man standing match between Pete and Trick. And that'll be very telling as far as what's to come next. But yeah, this main event was a really good match, and it's probably might have been my favorite WWE match of the week.
All righty. And speaking of that, that is a wrap for the shows we have covered so far for WWE this week across Monday Night Raw from last night, SmackDown from Friday on Fox, and NXT from last week by previewing also some matches going down on tonight's show on USA as WWE Premier Week continues on that network. But it's now time for my new favorite segment, because Scott tends to surprise me all the time with his match of the week, which is usually a troll job before making his actual pick. So Scott, the floor is yours.
Oh, nothing. It's all serious business this week. My match of the week is going to be Tony Khan and the legal system as far as the murder charges that should be coming his way. Attempted murder multiple times. I'm just going to highlight one. We had an assassination attempt on the world champion with a plastic bag. It's fine. You can do what you want. But if I'm Brie, you know, I'm making a call. It's an unsafe work environment. If there was any time to fear for your life, that's it. I'm just throwing that out there. If there's any time to fear for your life. That's my match of the week is going to be Tony Khan and fighting off the attempted murder charges of multiple people.
Listen, the felonies that were racked up between Wednesday and Saturday's pay-per-view was insane. We had arson, live arson on the air.
Arson is wild. The live arson on national television is wild.
Live arson on TV. And we saw Randy do this before. He set the standard of burning people alive and setting fires. And then Hangman says, "Hold my beer," literally as I burn a man's childhood home to a crisp, and then attempt to kill him 3 days later on pay-per-view to rack up more felony charges of attempted murder. And then we have, like you said, attempted murder on your world heavyweight champion. The footage is so graphic, we can't show it on TV. But Tony, we gonna call 5-0 to arrest people for committing these heinous, felonious acts.
They had Swerve looking like he was on an episode of Snowfall. listen,
my God.
Listen, and I'm not opposed to it. Like, that's what AEW is. AEW is the alternative. This is where you're gonna get that type of stuff, and that's cool. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, yeah. The violence is fine. Like, there is a place for that in wrestling. There is a fan base for that. Like, it was cool watching Willow just whacking people with lights and stuff. Her and Stat out there just bruising each other. Like, that was cool.
I loved it.
Like, that was cool watching them go out there and go ham. Did it get a little bit much for me? Yeah, that's me. But, you know, we still have to talk about that there was arson and attempted murder in a span of 4 days. hell of a legal team Tony Khan's got over there at AEW.
He sure does. I mean, he's able to make sure these cases don't go to trial and there's no convictions at all. There's not even an arrest. Like, they get to skate free. Says, you know what? I will handle this internally. Okay. I'll make sure that my wrestlers don't press charges against these criminal acts against them. I feel as if I am the best law and order there is to handle this situation. Let me Olivia Benson this for my team.
I get the unsanctioned match. You know, you get him to sign a waiver. That's cool. But the Moxley Brian Danielson thing. I mean, my man literally put the bag over him and was like, yeah, you're done. This is it. This is it. I was waiting on somebody to pull out a wire and this is going to turn into a Hitman movie. Like this, that was wild. What do you do to top that? What are they going to do to top that? How you top that, Mox?
Tune in and find out on Wednesday's Dynamite to see what next act of criminality we will see. But shout out to JR because he was in his classic WWF bag because that man was pissed. Like, he was thinking he was seeing Triple H just doing the most heinous stuff back in the early 2000s. That's how mad JR was. Like, you son of a bitch. This is just, he was going off. I loved it.
And we're not even going to talk about how they little boy Wheeler Yuta. I don't want to ever hear nobody talk about Wheeler Yuta and being a man of some group. That boy was being held like a child.
Pac hit that was man holding him
on his shoulder like a child. Boy, I would have kicked Pac in his nuts and got out of there. Are you kidding me?
Like, Pac was holding him like a baby. He was like hugging him. Like, dude. Kick him in the balls. Get to your friend. He's over there crying, like trying to reach out to him. Like, break the hold. Oh, my God. Willa's going to die on Wednesday. That'd be the next murder attempt. The attempted murder of Wheeler Yuta. Just wait for it.
That's enough AEW.
Okay, so we talked about that. But your actual legit match of the week so far in WWE.
I'm going to go with the four-way. I thoroughly enjoyed the four-way. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought there was actually some intrigue over who might win, especially with the promos they cut. They did a good job with it.
Okay, I agree. And I'm also going to give an honorable mention to the Wyatt Six and American Maid. I thought that was a really fun match to kick off the show for last night as well. So I thought that this was a really fun week so far in WWE. Premiere week continues for NXT and SmackDown on USA. We'll talk about it next Monday and bring it to you on Tuesday right here on the Fightgame Media Network. I do want to thank my co-captain, the Scout, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as we talked everything WWE and pop culture to your confusion at some points. But we will say Google is your friend. Google it, and you will be blessed and highly favored.
Thank you for having me, Keila. It's always a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I look forward to the week to come, and I will see everyone next week.
Absolutely. So for myself and for the Scout, Salty Scott Young, that is the week so far. And WWE will be back next week to continue the build for WWE Bad Blood going down live in Atlanta on Saturday, October 5th at a very early start time of 6 p.m. Eastern. Get that ready for your calendars and your timer as well. We'll talk about that next week. So until then, take care and bye-bye.